The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
I hate to even get into this next story. I really do. But let me just preface what I'm about to say by saying, beware of Christian celebrities. please beware. That's before I get into this story, long story, but Joy and I just changed insurance companies for some reasons. It's none of your business, but we just changed insurance companies on our auto and our home. And I was meeting with the agent. Great guy. We're really happy about the new direction we're going. And we changed some of our coverage. And so anyway, talk to the agent. And he says, well, you know, we've got to check into, you know, your liability and so forth because you're a celebrity. And I just sat there. I said, excuse me, what? He says, well, you're a celebrity. No, I'm not. I'm not a celebrity. What? No. Well, yeah, because I'm on the radio. Well, anyway, I thought, I have never, ever, I don't think even once, thought of myself as a celebrity. That's just totally foreign to me, and I mean that sincerely. And I don't think anybody's ever called me a celebrity before. Well, anyway, be careful of becoming too enamored with Christian celebrities. We should have learned our lesson on many, many occasions. The guy who said, "Kiss Dating Goodbye," that book went just viral. It went crazy. It was a bestseller. I don't know how many copies it sold, but it became the book on dating. Parents, youth directors all across America, that became the official source of truth about dating. "Kiss Dating Goodbye." And the guy that wrote it was very young when he wrote it. He didn't know a whole lot, but it was catchy. He was a good writer. He had a good editor. He had a good publisher. And the thing went crazy. And that guy is now an atheist. Yeah, he left the ministry, became an atheist, and so forth. But he was a celebrity for quite some time. Here's the latest. I have heard of this book, but I kind of ignored it. The book is Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis. Number one New York Times bestseller. It went crazy. I never really checked into it. I knew it was a bestseller. It was getting all kinds of publicity. All kinds of people were reading it. Churches, women's groups were using it for Bible studies. And Rachel Hollis became a celebrity. And she became the authority. Well, evidently, from reading some reliable reviews on this book, Girl, Wash Your Face, it was very heavy in pop psychology and very, very light on theology, which is all too common. I am absolutely shocked at some of the Bible studies that some of our evangelical churches are using that are just unbelievably shallow theologically. Of course, I'm shocked by a whole lot of what's going on. So many small groups, not all, not even the most, all right? But one of my pet peeves are small groups and quote-unquote Bible studies that are not Bible studies at all. They're discussion groups. A long time ago, Joy and I went to a home Bible study, and a lot of really sweet, wonderful people, good people, and we went, and it was a Bible study in the book of Revelation. I thought, wow, that's great. So there was no teacher. There was a facilitator, a leader, and read a text of Scripture, and then they went around the circle, and it was, well, what do you think? Oh, I think this. And the next person says, well, I think it should be interpreted like this. And the next person said, well, I don't know. I kind of disagree. I really think it should be interpreted like this. And they went around, and everybody gave their opinion. And when everybody had given their opinion to that particular portion of Scripture, the facilitator said, well, that was an interesting discussion. All right, now we will go on to the next portion. And I about lost my mind. I thought, who's teaching here? Where is the person that's saying, thus says the Lord? And the problem is, a brand new Christian, a novice that knows nothing about Scripture, his or her opinion was equal to the seasoned saint who has spent most of their lives studying Scripture. And it was all, well, all opinions. Well, anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to chase that rabbit. But why in the world have I brought up Girl, Wash Your Face by Rachel Hollis? She announced today that she and her husband are divorcing. Now, I'm not taking this lightly. Please don't misunderstand me. But in releasing that she and her husband are divorcing, she said, and I quote in her release, "We started out as best friends 18 years ago, and the truth is the core friendship and the parts of us that work so well have become a Band-Aid for the parts of us that don't. We have worked endlessly over the last 3 years to make this work and have come to the conclusion it's healthier and more respectful for us to choose this as the end of our journey as a married couple." And I thought, oh my goodness, I have heard this over and over in the last 50 years of ministry. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this. It's just best if we part our ways. And then she says, "We remain dear friends as we raise our family as co-parents and run our company as partners. We are choosing joy." Now, I've never met this couple, but I can almost hear what they would say in a counseling session just because I've been there so many times. "I have a right to be happy. She doesn't make me happy anymore. I have a right to be contented. He doesn't make me contented anymore. I have a right to have my needs met. He doesn't meet my needs anymore." I can almost guarantee you, we are choosing joy. Even though, I'll be honest, the last month has been one of the most awful of our lives, and so on and so on and so forth. I am deeply saddened that another Christian marriage of someone prominent in the public eye, another marriage has ended. And I believe with all my heart, this marriage could have been saved. See, I believe any marriage can be saved. Many are not. But I believe that God is powerful enough. Principles of Scripture are powerful enough to save any marriage. I believe that. And when Joy and I do a marriage conference, that's what we teach. We don't know what you're going through in your marriage, but it can be healed. It can be healed. God is powerful enough, and the biblical principles of marriage are so strong that no matter how broken a marriage is, it can be healed. It can be. The problem is, are we willing to allow God to do what he wants to do? So, sadly, another Christian celebrity, marriage is on the rocks. And this is happening so often. I don't know this woman. I don't know her husband. And I'm trying not to be critical of them. My heart goes out to them. I pray that they will allow God to bring healing. But here's another person who has been almost idolized by hundreds of thousands of Christian women.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. Thank you for joining me. Let me just say one other thing, just to clarify. I really do believe that any marriage can be saved if the individuals are willing to surrender to God's principles. That's the problem. In all of our years of ministry, Joy and I have found, and this is sad, but it's true, probably only 50% of couples really want help when they seek counseling. About 50%, about one half. About one half really want help. And I believe that for those, there is a 100% chance that God can heal that marriage if they really want help, if they do. Now, if they don't, there's not a whole lot of hope, because the other 50% just want someone to agree with their position. They want to go to counseling so that the counselor will agree with their complaint. And that's what they're looking for, affirmation for their feelings. They don't want to change. They don't want the marriage healed. And again, it's sad, but it's true. About 50% that the people, that couples that we have dealt with for all of these years, about half have no desire to really see their marriage healed unless the other person changes. That's that sinful, rebellious human nature. And our rotten, uncrucified flesh that we have to contend with. But God's principles can bring healing. They can. The question is whether we will apply them. All right, let's go to the phones. And I've got Charles in Columbus. Charles, you're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good, good. And I want to talk to you about white privilege, but you seem to think that's a fallacy. Well, first of all, let me say this. I heard your call at the end of the show yesterday, and I thought to myself, it's sad that you got to go and attack that you have to attack Reverend Oh, boy, why am I doing this? Sharpton.
Yeah.
When he gave his eulogy yesterday.
Yeah.
I said to myself, man, it's pitiful.
It was pitiful.
That's what you say. I have a lot of respect for Sharpton, and the message he gave yesterday was on point. And I said to myself, hey, this man's preaching the eulogy of an innocent black man who was murdered by a thug cop, and even in his death, he's still attacking. But let me get to what I'm talking now.
I didn't attack the man who was killed. I have nothing but sympathy for the man who was killed. It was unjust. It was terrible. And I don't think Sharpton did anything to bring any kind of unity or harmony or a healing. Nothing but division. And that's my opinion. That's what I thought.
Well, that's your opinion, but again, it is false. What Sharpton did was bring light to the truth that so many Americans, so many white Americans don't want to deal with. But I'm encouraged to see, again, those brothers in Christ who are white who say, yes, you got to deal with this issue. But here's why I called to give you a prime example of white privilege.
Okay.
World War II, at the end of World War II, okay? Now, you had black soldiers and white soldiers. Everybody fought against Hitler and Tojo. White soldiers died, black soldiers died. Yemen said, okay, we're going to reward you soldiers for what you've done. We're going to give you the GI Bill. So you better get loans to access if you want to go to college, loans for your home, if you want to purchase a home. Okay. That did not apply to black soldiers. Black soldiers were not privy to the GI Bill. And it's only because we were black. White privilege kicked in. I mean, there's so many examples, but I want to use that as a point.
Do you mean to tell me that a black soldier today cannot get the GI Bill? Are you telling me that?
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is the GI Bill kicked in after World War II. That's
yeah, today, saying. Today, okay, we're running out of time, Charles. Can a black soldier get the GI Bill today?
I'm dealing Hello? With World War II, the end of World War II.
I'm talking you know today. What, you know, who okay, cares okay, what
okay,
happened?
Okay, let me respond.
All right. Charles, I'm out of time. I am really, really sorry because this would have been an interesting conversation. We're bringing up World War II? Okay. Hey, we are out of time. Got to go. I hope you folks have a wonderful evening. I mean that. But wherever you go and whatever you do, please remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.